KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
We appreciate you joining us today on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you. Of course, Steve Ryman will join you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. And it's just a blessing to be here and have the guests like we have today. I want to welcome in Valerie Jamieson. She's the founder and president of Stand True for Blue. Roger Legendre, he's the community engagement director, also a former police officer himself. And we have a new guest you haven't heard from before. Her name is Michelle English. She's a recruiting officer with the Albuquerque Police Department. And we're going to talk about policing and the career that it is, and I hope that some of our listeners are going to be excited, because there's some amazing opportunities, aren't there, Roger?
Absolutely. You know, it's a pleasure to be here, Jim. Thanks for having us here today. And I definitely want to just say thank you also to Michelle for coming here to enjoy a chat and be able to discuss all the great things that can come from becoming a member of the Albuquerque Police Department. In the past, I've talked about just how honored I was and how much of a privilege it was to serve the city of Albuquerque through being a police officer. But some of the things I never discussed was the relationships that you form with your peers and whatnot. I had the honor to go through the police academy with Michelle 22 years ago.
Now, the math isn't adding up, because, Roger, you told us you were like 25. I'm teasing.
You know, it doesn't seem that long ago, but in the academy, they used to always tell us the days are long and the years are short. Yeah. And there's a truth to that, because, you know, I'm sitting here now looking at Michelle 20 years later, and she still looks the same from when she was in the academy. So police have definitely done her well.
But Michelle, you're the recruiting officer.
I am.
And that, therefore, I'm assuming that you have great enthusiasm for the job you've been doing for 21 plus years.
And I've always had it. I mean, ever since I started, I knew this was a great place to work. So I've been a recruiter, not just the past 7 years, but 20 plus years.
Yeah. And that's interesting you bring that up, mm-hmm. because when you bring somebody in, do they have a chance to talk to other officers and say, how do you like this? I'm kind of thinking about, so I got to play basketball at the University of New Mexico. When I first visited, there were players that I talked to. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you like playing here? Oh, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, they bragged about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure your officers are a big part of recruiting new people.
Our best recruiters. And it's not just people that you meet during the job, but like I recruited about 15 years ago. She's now a lieutenant. She was working for her dad as a handyman. And I told her, hey, are you interested? And now she's a lieutenant, hopefully a commander soon. It was recruiting all the time. Yes. Officers are our best recruiters.
Tell us a little bit about your career. And we're gonna have maybe Roger did a different tract, mm-hmm. But you guys went to the academy together. Mm-hmm. And once you start there, is the academy pretty tough?
You know, it's relative. For me, it was hard, because I didn't have anybody that was an officer, so I didn't have anyone to go to and ask what to expect. And the internet wasn't all that
It wasn't that accurate in those days,
yeah.
I bet.
So I had to depend on myself. No one in the military that I had, I could ask. So it was hard for me. And I didn't understand why they did some of the things did. They would yell at me if I just wasn't marching right. I never marched. But now I understand it. It's just a great experience. So I went through the academy with Roger, and I did go a different track. I didn't want to promote. I didn't want to become a sergeant or anything. So I became detectives. I was in the field for 6 years, and my personality is I like to change. I don't want to do the same thing for 20 years, and that's what I saw a lot of jobs. I did insurance, and I hated it after 5 years, and I did this for 5 years, and I hated it after 5 years. So when I became a police officer, my personality was the same. I needed to change after 5 years. So I was in the field for several years, and I got bored and I wanted a change up, so I became a detective. I did child abuse detective for 5 years, needed a change. So I did that. I became a different kind of detective, did that for 3, and now I'm a recruiter. So I'm at the tail end of my recruiter, but I love my job so much, I'm staying. I'm not leaving. I don't have any plans to leave for several years. They'll probably make me leave. I'll probably not be able to bend down and stuff. But I love my job and I get paid very well doing it.
Yeah. Roger, do you have similar feelings about the track you took?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Academy came with its challenges, just like Michelle had said. Anywhere from shining your boots to the homework you're given to learning how to shoot a weapon to the commands, marching. There's so much involved in the Academy, and we all bonded through that. Mm-hmm. And those developed lifelong relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, 22 years later, we're mm-hmm. still friends here. Mm-hmm. My track within the police department, Michelle's attention span is much greater than mine. Mine wasn't 5 years. Mine was about two or three. And, you know, switching around, I spent a few years in the field. Then I went on to become a detective. I did that for a few years. At that point, I went back to being in the field, but I was able to train new officers. I had a heart for teaching. Going from there, that kind of led me in the direction of promoting, which at that point I promoted to sergeant. I got to work within the community quite a bit in that capacity and went on to lieutenant and also commander in the various roles that I played. But having the different opportunities definitely kept, it was the same job, but all the different opportunities allowed it to stay fresh and interesting.
I love it. I love it. Now, I've actually known Valerie for a pretty long time. She was a teacher and taught my children. I have five children, all attended the same school at Hope Christian School. So, Valerie, I'm going to bring you in the conversation. You are the founder of Stand True for Blue, and your whole focus is on supporting and encouraging these two as they're serving as police officers. And tell me why you felt that was important, because do they get pretty discouraged, do you think, being a police officer? I mean, I think you use this quote, correct me, because I know you'll say it differently. Police officers are meeting people at their worst every day, and that's got to take its toll.
Well, it's every day, all day, for a career. And I have the utmost respect for them. I couldn't do what they do. So we want to help support them and rally community to really understand that they are human, that they, I think they're subhuman because what they do is amazing, but that they're human. They go through a lot of different things after being a part of everybody's tough day.
They're like superheroes. They're ultra human.
To us, they're superheroes, and that's why we do what we do. So my role is rallying community and helping educate community and helping bridge between law enforcement and community to form relationships, and they get a chance to know these amazing people.
So our purpose today is severalfold. There are civilians that want to remain civilians, and they might want to get involved with Stand True for Blue and support the police. But Michelle, I'm going to shift back to you now. Mm-hmm. What qualities and skills make a good police officer? Because we also want a whole bunch of people to apply for the next police mm-hmm. academy listening to the show today.
I get that question so often. What, you don't have to know how to shoot a gun. You don't have to know how to march. Really, all we ask right now is just be a good person. Just be a good person. We will teach you everything else. In fact, the range likes it when you don't know how to shoot a gun because people make mistakes. So just be a good person. That is really it. We'll teach you everything else.
Some people have a perception, maybe it's social media induced or whatever, that there's all kinds of things going wrong with police. Mm-hmm. But that's only because the very minute few things that happen mm-hmm. out of the millions of encounters mm-hmm. that police officers across our country mm-hmm. have every day with the public where everything went perfect, mm-hmm. they never hear about those. Mm-hmm. But that really is true. There are literally millions of encounters across this country with law enforcement and the public that literally just go amazingly. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, you have something difficult, but the percentage is so small. Are people afraid to be in law enforcement because they feel like there's a camera on them, or they feel like they're put on the spot?
It is, yeah, people are hesitant because they think that the entire public is against them. And rarely do I get that. Mostly I get people coming up, shaking my hand and say, thank you for your service. And that's much appreciated. And people think they have to be a certain height or a certain look or certain, you know, build to become an officer. And that's absolutely not true. One of our best female officers, was she even 5 foot, Roger?
Are you talking about yourself again?
No, I'm five one and a quarter, so I'm way over. But remember that other officer, Brenda?
Yeah, I think
she was like 5 foot flat. So
she was one of our best officers.
Yeah, one of our best officers. So there's not a certain height you have to be or a certain age. A lot of people, start later in life. I didn't start till I was 34. Our oldest male cadet, he was 60, and we had two oldest females. They were 52 when they started. So really, a wide range of people that we are looking for. I like older people that come and be police officers because they have the maturity and the experience. And if you're young, hey, we'll give you the experience in the academy. But please, if you're older and you're interested, don't wait. Apply. I want to do this. I want to become a police officer when I was 21. And my family was like, no, Heatha, no, you're too young. You're too short, blah, blah, blah. And I waited another 10 years. And I regret that. But I'm also glad because I would have never become an Albuquerque police officer. I would have been a different police officer in a different state. So I'm grateful that I did not join until I became an Albuquerque police officer. Bragging and I just lucked out with that because I didn't know what the difference is between a deputy or a city cop. And there is a difference. And any of them are good. But can I just say why?
Yes.
I think Albuquerque stands out is... if you want to be a patrol officer, you can go anywhere and a call is a call and they're all great agencies. But the difference with the Albuquerque Police Department is we have opportunities. So if you want to do anything different than patrol, we have over 40 specialized units. So if you want to do undercover, if you want to do crimes against children, or if you want to do horses or SWAT or, open space. There's so many different options. And what I tell people is you don't know what you want to do because you're not an officer. So that's why you need to join Albuquerque Police, because once you're in, you don't want to leave because you have all the opportunities here.
I love it. I love it. Well, I never knew that there was 40 different things
over 40. Yeah.
But I did. I've known a lot of kids. I say kids, but they're all adult people now. I know female and male basketball players from where my kids went to high school at Hope Christian School that have become police officers. Mm-hmm. And they've been highly successful. One of them was riding a bike downtown, patrolling downtown on a bicycle. Mm-hmm. I mean, what fabulous conditioning. Mm-hmm. What? But here's the thing that's always impressive to me, and maybe I'm going to point at Valerie because you're a civilian. I have literally witnessed people getting mad at police officers for nothing more than being in uniform. And here's the impressive part. They've been so cool, so nice, so professional. I could not do that.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it, man. Mm-hmm. You know, my tongue would get me in trouble every time. So I'm amazed at that discipline. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you train officers to do?
In the academy, they will test you. I mean, you will get yelled at. And it's a test. Because if you get that upset and you bow up and want to hit somebody, well, that means you can't control your temper. And that won't work. And if you fall down and cry because someone's yelling at you, I mean, you're not going to get hurt in the academy. So if you can't handle that in a sterile environment, then you certainly can't handle it out in the field. So yeah, you are tested in the academy. You will be tested.
One of the things, Roger, that I don't know, because I've never been a police officer, is you're not out there by yourself. There's a real camaraderie among officers. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there is that camaraderie. And as you come together, like even officers that maybe they didn't go through the academy like Michelle and I did together, but or it may even be a different department. No, you're going to take care of each other because we're all in that same game and we do understand what needs to be done. And we're going to take care of each other in that sense. So in Albuquerque, I knew that, you know, when you could hear it in people's voices, you get to know your comrades very well. And honestly, when they get on the radio and you can hear that they're very concerned,
Yeah.
People show up really quick.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and that's the joy of being in Albuquerque as well. You have a whole lot of support from the other officers that are in there.
And Michelle's trying to make sure that we have plenty more.
Yes,
to help
please.
Out. We need, what do you call it? How many people are on call at any time?
Staffing?
In service?
In service. Mm-hmm. I mean, any, you know, you, I can't remember the term that some of my buddies told
Squad.
Me. When you sign up to serve, there's a word for that, but I'll think of it as we move along. We're going to take a break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we really do appreciate them. We also appreciate all the good work APD, the Albuquerque Police Department, does. We thank you both for serving. Valerie does a great job of supporting and encouraging people and being available when there are difficult things that happen. When we come back, we're going to talk about APDonline.com and how you can get, if you're interested in maybe applying to the department, how that happens and what the process is. We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after these messages.
Matthew Molden with 505 Church.
God had called me to be a preacher. Felt like God said, do what you do. You know, you're willing to go the streets, you're willing to go anywhere and preach the gospel. And that is where the catalyst came right there.
That's Matthew Molden with 505 Church. 505 Church prioritizes preaching Christ and making him known. You and your church community are encouraged to partner with them in this endeavor. Find out more at 505.church. That's 505.church.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. When a man died in Chhattisgarh, India, his family buried him on their own property according to traditional tribal rites. But because three of his five sons are Christians, a mob of more than 500 villagers declared the burial an insult to their deities and attacked mourners with wooden sticks and slingshots. Several people were injured, and the family and other local Christians fled the village for weeks. The mob looted the family's property, burned their home, and vandalized the homes and churches of 15 other Christian families. Pray for this family as they return home and for Christians throughout Chhattisgarh who face growing hostility from religious extremists.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
We are back on ABQ Connect. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We have the chief recruiter for the Albuquerque Police Department, the recruiting officer, Michelle English. We have Valerie Jamison and Roger Legendre from Stand True for Blue. And we're talking about the recruiting process in this segment. Also, I'll defer to Valerie and Roger a little bit. Roger, of course, is a former commander in APD. And Michelle has tried several different things, as she shared with us, with the department.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, the thing that I wrote down while you were talking is that you waited to apply.
I did.
Almost thinking that you weren't qualified to apply.
My family was not supportive. They thought it was too dangerous and I shouldn't do it. But what I tell people, I mean, this may sound bad, but it's dangerous to go to the bank. It's dangerous to go drive in Albuquerque. So now I get to do what I love. And now my family's super supportive. They were just scared. Fear.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, and I've seen some people that are going into the military. Their families respond the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we appreciate your service. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a Bible reference to, and this is love that a person lay down their life for a friend. You guys lay down your lives for people you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Not even your friends. You lay down your life for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we appreciate that. I mean, I'm thankful for that. I know that's why Valerie has decided to be part of a group, Stand True for Blue, that is entirely devoted to supporting and encouraging police officers. So, Michelle, talk to us about APD Online. Talk to us about the social media. How do people find out about APD and the Albuquerque Police Department and how to serve and how to get the process started?
Okay. Our website is apdonline.com. And there you can find a lot of information about when testing is, what you need, all the requirements, the disqualifiers. I will say about the disqualifiers, there's very few that are permanent disqualifiers. I thought, you know, if someone had bad credit, then they couldn't. But that's not true. All we're looking for is responsibility. I mean, medical bills can really take anyone out, right? Mm-hmm. So if that's what's bringing you down, still, we want you to apply and test, because that is not a disqualifier. We just want to make sure that you're being responsible. So if you owe it, you know, be on a payment plan, even if it's just a few dollars a month. So yeah, just Google apdonline.com, or you can call one of the recruiters at 505-343-5040. And we even have after-hour recruiters to answer your questions from 8 to 8, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 7 days a week. There's someone, if you call, someone will answer your call and answer your questions.
I love that. And there's other social media. I don't know a thing about Instagram mm-hmm. or some of these other things, but if you go to Instagram, you can put in
Albuquerque Police Recruiting Instagram, and we have Facebook. And yeah, follow us in there. We put a lot of stuff about our programs. We have different programs. LEAP, we have, if you're not in shape, we have a program called LEAP that basically we can pre-hire an applicant who's in the background process at $19.75 an hour, 40 hours a week. And during that time, they get paid to work out with us an hour and a half a day. We will get them in shape, because we realized that is one thing that we can change. We can't change people's past or who they are, but we can change their speed as far as running. So we can help with that. So that's why our classes have been bigger lately, because we've had this program and people have no excuse then. They're getting paid. They're going to go run.
I've said this before, and I'm very excited that you have more and more women that are serving. Mm-hmm. I love you sharing your story mm-hmm. because you waited, and now you're saying, I shouldn't have waited. I could have started what I love 6 years earlier.
Yes.
Right? I'm thinking while you were talking, there's so many unbelievable female athletes that mm-hmm. I know. And a lot of male athletes too, but they're on really the same level now. You want these former athletes. You want these former musicians. You want these high school students. Mm-hmm. How old do you have to be to apply? Do you have to be past 18 or how?
In order to be a police officer, you have to be at least 20.
Okay.
To apply.
Okay.
And you have to be 21 by the time you graduate. And you know what? It's not just athletes. You don't have it to get in. It's a mile and a half run at 15 minutes, 14 seconds. And that's not athlete a run. I mean, I can do that. And I'm not even an athlete. I can do it. So if you want to do it, you don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be in shape. We'll get you there. You know, you have to work on your own, but you don't have to be a solid athlete. Just be able to run a little bit.
So there is a background check. What are expectations of the academy?
The biggest one is responsibility. Don't lie. That's one thing that will get you kicked out. You lie about even little stuff, that will get you kicked out. Because if you lie about these little things, you're probably going to lie about the big things. And we don't need that. That will get you kicked out forever. Background. What else? Background.
Yeah, when it comes down to the background, you know, they're going to be looking for that responsibility. Have they held jobs? Did they leave in good standing with these jobs that they've had in the past? Have they gone to college? What sort of experience do they have? You know, what sort of people do they associate themselves
with? You don't have to have a college degree, though.
Nope.
Okay, or maybe you have a vocational degree. I think you mentioned the woman earlier that you used as an example was a handy person working
yes.
in construction mm-hmm. and decided to become an APD officer.
Yeah.
So you can switch careers. We have a young lady who has been producing, and I'm not going to use her name because she may not like it, but she
is interested. I'll talk to her.
Well, she I think she's already in your program.
Oh, okay.
She's either going to, I think it's either APD or the Sheriff's Department. I don't know which one, but she was producing and doing work here mm-hmm. at the radio station. And I think she talked to Valerie, she talked to some other people about law enforcement. And I think she perceived that she wasn't, I know she was a licensed realtor. Mm-hmm. So she had all these preconceptions about, you know, what
she should do, but I think she really wanted to be in law enforcement, mm-hmm. and now she's finally taken that step. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool. What are some other reasons people wait, Roger?
You know, as far as waiting, they may feel that it's not the right time. I know that we've had candidates in the past that maybe they've already started work elsewhere, and maybe they are making a little bit more wherever they're at, but they're not content. They're not happy with the work they're doing.
What kind of compensation, though? Because that's been increased quite significantly.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Roger, when we started, we got paid $13 and something cents. So I took a pay cut.
I would have done it for free.
I took a pay cut, and gladly, I'd do it again. But now they've raised the pay for police cadets. They earn $30 when they start the academy, day one, and incredible benefits.
Oh, so you get paid while you're going to the academy.
$30. Cool. 40 hours a week, incredible health insurance.
How many weeks are the academy again?
6.5 months.
6.5 months at $30 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Going to pretty much train your body, get physically fit, and learn to become a police officer for $30 an hour.
Yeah, incredible.
That is crazy. Valerie, these two police officers are sitting here sharing their experience and their excitement for the department. You're around when discouraging things happen. There have been difficult things that have happened, lives lost, those kinds of things. How does Stand True for Blue support the academy and support the department?
Well, our goal is to really be a sustaining support through life, to do life with them, build relationships. So when things happen, we are a resource for them to call, and they'll know that we're there and we can help. So I think building relationships is super important. And there's a lot of different needs from a lot of these different units that they're speaking of, and everyone's different. And it's fun to get to know them different, because they all like different things, and we really try to make it personal, just to give them an extra touch of, hey, we see you, the department, yes, but you, how can we be there for you and your specific department or your family, and really try to make it personal.
Yeah, Michelle, you referred to in the first segment we did today about the encouragement that the public gives police officers.
Yes.
Is that appreciated? Is that a good thing for somebody to do?
I love it. So please keep on, please.
Keep doing it. You're not just talking about an excellent hourly amount that you get paid from the day you enter the academy. There's also some amazing retirement benefits. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Roger can probably tell you because he's retired. He's getting all that money.
The retirement that the city of Albuquerque offers, which, you know, Albuquerque Police Department falls under the city of Albuquerque, is called para. And that para retirement, now it's 25 years of service. They get what percentage?
75%.
75% of their top 3 years.
Top five.
Top 5 years. Yeah. I'm sorry. I came from a different retirement program.
Yes. Okay.
A little different, but likewise. That sort of retirement, it's a pension. So once you have that pension, you make it that 25 years, your top 5 years, 75%, you get for the remainder of your life. So you start at 20, 21 years old. By the time you're 46, you got a paycheck the rest of your life.
Yeah, I will tell you, my father was the director of the Parks and Recreation Department, or one of the directors, and he was on para. And he didn't have debt, but he didn't save a lot of money. But he was making a lot of money monthly between his, you know, para retirement and his pension and what he was getting from Social Security. So, again, if you're looking for a way to secure your family and do something that is totally interesting and, dare I say, even if you do the same job as a patrol officer or as a recruiter, there's something new every day under the sun, isn't there, Michelle?
Yes. And there's so many benefits. We couldn't even go through them all. But one of the benefits that I was thinking of about becoming a police officer is I moved here from a different state. I had never been to Albuquerque. I didn't know anybody. And after I lived here a couple of years, I knew, a dozen or so. But after I became a police officer, I basically had 800 friends. And that's no joke. If I needed something, I didn't even have to know them. I just knew that they were a police officer and I could ask for help.
I love it.
Yes.
That is amazing. Well, we're about halfway done, but we're going to plead with Michelle and Valerie and Roger to stay with us through the top of the hour at 2 o'clock. We're talking about the Albuquerque Police Department, everything from recruiting to going to the academy to the services that stand true for Blue as a nonprofit organization. Roger's a retired police officer and working as a community contact for the police department and for Stand True for Blue after serving how many years?
I was with the Albuquerque Police Department for 20 years.
For 20 years. Amazing. We got a lot more to cover. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back. You are gracious to join us on ABQ Connect. If you're driving in your car, don't worry about writing notes and other kinds of things. We want you to drive safely. Plus, we have police officers in studio, so they're not going to like you doing things other than driving. But you can go to apdonline.com, apdonline.com. And what's the social media that they go to, Michelle?
It is Albuquerque Police Recruiting.
Albuquerque Police Recruiting. If you go to Instagram or Facebook, you can just hook up right there. Before we talk about challenges facing officers, and I don't really think there's a challenge facing everybody in every job.
Yes.
My biggest challenge as a live talk show radio host is for my guests to show up on time, which you guys were amazing. You got here 15 minutes early. We've had to start a bunch of shows where we're here by ourselves until our guests get here. And so it's, anyway, I don't mean to minimize or correlate waiting for somebody to come on the air on the radio with being a police officer, because it's not even close. There's lots of challenges, scary things, but also invigorating, amazing things that you can do. But first, I want to talk to Valerie. Valerie, I'm 68. Even if I was interested in being in the police department, probably not something I could do. How can someone that doesn't necessarily want to serve or can't serve anymore, how could they help the police department?
That's a great question. Thank you, Jim. Well, I love it that our police departments have Citizens Police Academies. I've been through the APD, and it is a phenomenal academy. And it's a place where civilians can go and be taught what these different units within the department, what they do. And it really opens your eyes to a number of things. We did one thing that really struck me was we went through the RBT, which is the reality-based training. And we were the officers, and we had unexpected things happened to us that it was terrifying, I'll be honest. But
purposely done
purposely
in the academy.
I mean, people jump out.
This is called the Citizen Academy?
Mm-hmm, the Civilians Police Academy.
Okay. Civilians,
Or citizens, depending on the different departments, they have different names. But it's for the civilian to get a really good understanding of an overview of what our officers and deputies face. And so, and agents. I just finished the FBI one, which was fabulous. But when I went through the APD, the RBT training really brought home what they face on a daily basis. And I had to, one situation was there was a vehicle pulled over. I was an officer. I had to approach the vehicle. The guy jumped out and started shooting at me. And it was terrifying, but that's their reality. This could happen. This does happen to them. They don't know who they're going to be approaching. And it hit me that, oh my gosh, yes, I appreciate them, but what they choose to do for us to keep us safe as civilians, I can't thank them enough. And I see them as remarkable, brave, courageous human beings that I will do anything I can to support. So I encourage and I challenge those out there that really appreciate the police, that want to know more about the departments, to get involved, get educated, because it does several things. We're only taught, or we're only shown a little snippet on the news of what happens. Now, these guys go through an academy for many, many months. We as civilians, if we are not educated to understand the totality of what they face, then we're going to buy that little piece and we're going to make a judgment on it. And that's not fair to them, because that's not truth. It's not totality of truth. Mm. So I encourage the community to step in, get educated, and really be open to learn about everything that they face, because it is they are remarkable people.
There's no cost associated with that, correct?
No. There's no cost associated. Just time investment.
But there's some work. It sounds like you got to work.
It's a time investment, and you got to show up. And I love the fact that if you miss a certain amount, you get kicked out, because that's how it should be.
Yeah.
This is a commitment, and we need to be in it to, yeah.
Michelle, what are the challenges to you as a recruiter? What things do you need to overcome in order to get people to join the department? You've already said that once you overcame some things, you just have loved it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of, like you said, negative news about what has happened in some departments, including ours. And it is embarrassing for us. So what I encourage people to do is, that's why you need to join, because you would not have done that horrible thing. So that's how I get over it.
And
you be the change, basically.
You guys have some pillars that you emphasize in the academy. And tell me how important those are. And that's kind of the focus of what you do training people.
So with the police academy, every department has its values. With Albuquerque Police Department, those values are going to be integrity. And I feel that if you have integrity, it's going to guide the other three, which is pride, respect, and fairness. With those four values, that's what the department has instilled in the officers, done their best to instill in the officers. Those are the sort of candidates they want to see come into the department. They want somebody who has a great sense of integrity, knowing right from wrong. And as humans, we're going to do wrong at some point. So the other side to that is correcting your wrong. Making sure you're doing the right thing, even when nobody's watching. You know, having the pride that you're doing the greatest effort, the best work you can do, regardless of what role you're in that police department, you are doing your best. Fairness with everybody. Not just one group of society or another group of society. You're fair with everybody. You're making that cognizant effort to understand the situation, the totality, not just what he said or she said, but put some facts on there and actually come up with a fair decision that's going to be best for the community. And the last one, respect above all else, you know, giving people dignity and making sure that the honorable profession of being police officers remains honorable. And by doing that is giving people the dignity and respect they deserve. And in return, we would hope that police officers and agencies are given the same from the community. And just like Valerie said before, is, you know, going through a citizen police academy gives a better understanding. And that's a level of respect in and of itself. Taking the time to do that.
I should be better at, some people would say, turning the other cheek. I would say it better. I should be better at extending grace, giving people undeserved, unmerited favor. And that's what I see police officers do. Even though somebody's mad at you, you're still extending respect and grace. I'm amazed by that. And so many times that de-escalates the issue. Is de-escalating situations something the department's trained in?
It is probably one of the major aspects that departments train in anymore. Valerie had brought up a tool that's used within the police department. It's called reality-based training, RBT, and that's where de-escalation is practiced quite often. Now, reality-based training, it might put police officers into a sterile situation where somebody could be screaming at them, they could be holding a weapon, and the officers have to do their best in this training module to de-escalate using verbal skills and whatnot to de-escalate time, distance, getting behind an object in order to create more time and distance in order to have peaceful resolutions. So yes, de-escalation, it's rated up there with any police department within the United States.
Well, you're talking with somebody that used to yell at basketball officials like a habit, which I'm not proud of. And I will say this, it took me being really humbled, unfortunately, by a divorce before I stopped doing that. And here's the thing that disappoints me about myself. I always knew that I shouldn't have that temper. But when I was humbled my entire attitude. I've continued to coach basketball, and I haven't yelled at a basketball official for 10 years. Mm-hmm. But you have to get to a point in your life where, you know, I don't know if that's training. I don't know if it's conviction. I don't know. From my perspective, a faith perspective, I feel like God finally broke me to where I realized I'm nothing special and I don't deserve anything more than that person in the striped shirt. Although I still think I'm allergic to striped shirts. Just teasing. Michelle, why don't we'll take another break. When we come back, I'd love for you to give us some reflection on just valuable things you've learned. Maybe speak another word to people that are thinking or contemplating about this. If there's a process where somebody can just get information and go through a process and maybe they decide at some point. I know you don't necessarily want people to, once they join the academy, you want them to go for it. But you know, how can they find out maybe before they make that total commitment if this might be something for them?
All right.
We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after this. We're talking about all things law enforcement with the Albuquerque Police Department. Michelle English is with us. She is the recruiting officer for the Albuquerque Police Department. Valerie Jamison and Roger Legendre are both with Stand True for Blue, and there we're talking about how they work to support police officers now. Of course, Roger is a retired police officer, went to the academy with Michelle. They've not talked in great detail about whether they got along or not in those days. I'm teasing you. I just get the sense from both of you there's a little competitive nature. And that's probably a good thing, right, for police officers? Do you kind of want to beat that other person in the mile run or mile and a half? Or
I wouldn't even compete with the run, but everything else, I'm competitive. Oh,
there you go. Okay. Michelle, let's talk about, you mentioned a salary of like $30.75. That's over $63,000. That's where you start?
That's the start in the academy. And then once you graduate, you're going to get another bump in pay. And then when you get off probation, another bump in pay. So, yeah, it keeps going up.
And the whole time you're building PERA retirement?
Working toward that 25-year retirement. I did want to go over just the minimum requirements to apply, if I could, please.
Sure.
So there's only four minimum requirements to apply. You have to be at least 21 by the time you graduate. You have to have a valid driver's license.
Graduate from the academy. Don't have to have a college degree.
Well, you have to have a GED or high school diploma.
Oh, okay. So that's good that we clarified that. Yeah. So you have to have a high school. You have to be 21 by the time you
graduate from the academy.
Graduate
from the academy. Okay. Sorry. And a valid driver's license. Be a U.S. citizen right now. We're working on the other with the governor said with non-citizens. Haven't figured that out yet exactly. But right now, U.S. citizen, high school diploma, or GED.
Okay. And I think there's probably a lot more people that now are realizing they qualify. Mm-hmm. And you already said you don't have to be a big gun person or having ever handled one. I think you mentioned that sometimes people that are teaching at the academy prefer that you come in without bad habits.
Yes, yes. Just be a good person. You don't have to be a certain height, a certain age, except the 21. But yeah, we're looking for all types of people. And even if you don't think you see yourself as, you know, one of those SWAT people, good. You know, maybe you can really talk to people and de-escalate, like Roger was talking earlier. We need all different kinds of people to join our department.
Are there police officers that take the calls and work with dispatch and do all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, most of our patrol officers, they do take calls from our dispatch.
They do. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've been told that domestic kinds of issues going on with the public are some of the scariest. Roger, did you ever have to handle something like that?
Like domestic violence type calls, those do happen quite often. And when you're in the field, often you'll respond to those several times in a night.
Do you feel like, from your experience, that you were really used in a way that helped people tremendously?
The intrinsic value that I got from being a police officer, one thing I recognized is that not everything you do has a long-lasting, long-term type effect, but you're there for the moment. that emergency moment where there could be life or limb or a very scary situation going on, you get to bring calm to the storm for that moment and make people's lives better. Now, whether how long that lasts, that's up to what sort of situations they might find themselves in the future. But that night, that moment, you get to make decisions and use your abilities that you've been blessed with, to the training, the experience, and everything else you have in you to make that moment better for somebody.
Yeah. Michelle, I don't know that you know much about our station. You know, we primarily talk with and minister to people in the faith community. And of all different churches, this is not a Calvary thing. This is evangelical Christians from every church in Albuquerque. You need, I think you said, somewhere around 300 more officers.
Yes, if we get 300 today, I would be a hero.
Well, you know what? You're smiling at me, but I actually think that we could have a huge influence on a lot of families that may not have had an interest in this before just because of what you've shared.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I hope so. And if they are interested, have them call me at 505-343-5040. We'd love to talk to them.
So let me give that one more time. 505-343-5040. Again, you can find out more information. You've already pointed out there's a number. Let's say that you're 18 years old, you got to get a job, so you guys would kind of like to see people go get a job, be responsible, that kind of thing.
Actually, we do have another position for the younger audience.
Okay.
We have a police service aid position. You only have to be 18 years old, at least, valid driver's license, U.S. citizen, or with that, just a valid work permit if you're a non-citizen, high school diploma, or GED. And they start at 1761. So if you're getting ready to graduate in May and you're interested in becoming a police officer, try police service aid. And that way you can learn a lot about report writing, driving within the city, responding to calls for service. That'd be a good way. And then after you turn 20, 21, become a police officer.
So our audience is very familiar with the term that I've heard both of you use, the calling. You know, we feel like God calls us to certain things. Roger, you felt this in past interviews that we've done. You feel like calling. This is something you were supposed to do.
Absolutely, Jim. I always like to call it, and I know within, you know, the field of being a police officer, we call it the heart of a servant. You want to be able to help. And we've been given our God-given abilities, and whether that's a good head on our shoulders or the physical abilities to go out there and do right for others. You know, we get the call and we get to show up and help out in that sense. So I heard a verse a little earlier. It goes, God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. And I feel that's very, you know, actual to what we do. You know, if you have the right heart and you got the good mindset, you're a good person, like Michelle is saying, show up to the academy. Show up to the academy, give that number a call, get on APD online. I challenge you. I challenge if you know somebody who you feel would make a good police officer, have them show up. Because that's exactly what the department needs. Do something for yourself. Do something for your family.
Again, I don't want to minimize this, but I literally think that the number of people listening right now, we have parents, we have grandparents, we have young people, we have older people listening. And when I say an older person, I mean, you mentioned that there are people going to the academy that have been 60 years old.
60. Our oldest male cadet was 60. Our oldest two female cadets were 52.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can kind of start this. You know, if you're 40 plus, you've been in a different career, you might think about that. If you're 18, you can serve as a police aide, figure out if this might be something you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Does peer pressure ever turn people away? There's a public perception of police. So let's say you've been, you know, hanging out with certain people, you know, drinking beer, doing things that maybe you don't feel that great about. And I'm not trying to fault people for drinking beer, but there's responsible kinds of things that you do and irresponsible things that people do. But you're not disqualified by maybe some mistakes, that a car accident that you've been in or something like that, are you?
No, not at all. There's very few things that will knock you out. And some people think, oh, well, my dad did this, or my brother, you know, is a felon. Well, that's not you, right? That's not you. So we can't punish you for or blame you for something that someone in your family did. You stand on your own 2 feet.
Yeah, I'd like to chime in on this one, especially for our younger applicants that come to the Albuquerque Police Department. I was 21 when I came on, and not too long before that, I was a teenager making bad decisions. And I'll be very vulnerable and honest here, but yeah, I had a drinking underage against me and whatnot. I had made bad decisions. I know you're shocked, Michelle. It's I had made some bad decisions as a teenager, and the key to this is when I applied, the person who told me to apply said, "Be very honest," and I was very honest.
Michelle emphasized that in the first segment
yes,
today.
You got to be very honest. I was honest with things that I never even got caught for, but I was honest about it, because if it came up through any sort of means, it would have showed that my integrity was jeopardized, and that definitely helped out.
You know, we obviously could speak about this for another hour very easily. Michelle English, thank you. She's a recruiting officer.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, please. Okay. Do it.
So May 11th, we're having our Fit to Serve. So if anybody's interested and wanted to work out with us, May 11th, just go to apdonline.com and contact recruiter and register for May 11th at 5:30 p.m.
Thank you all for joining us.
Bye.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Bye.